Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have with us today a guy who probably needs no introduction. It happens to be State Representative Tommy Pope. How are you, sir?
Good to see you, sir. Glad to be back.
How long have you been down there now?
I used to say Gary Simmel was the poster child for term limits. I may be heading that way. I got elected in 2010. And then in 2014, I was elected by my peers at the State House as Speaker Pro Tem.
Right.
I'm like, I joke about being a perennial freshman because I always go to all the freshman events. And I also, like being Speaker Pro Tem. Somebody said, you need to be Speaker. I said, if you don't like your committee, do you come ask the Speaker Pro Tem? No, you go whine to the Speaker. So I'm pretty happy where I'm at. And, of course, this time I do have challengers in the fall, two Democratic challengers. So they'll have a primary, and then I'll have a challenge in the fall.
Okay. So explain to people what the pro tem position really means.
Sure. So from a practical, it kind of cuts both ways. A day-to-day standpoint, I preside quite often, because the speaker presides in the House when we're in session on the floor. And so I preside when the speaker, maybe needs to deal with something or is unavailable, gavel us in. It's kind of as close as Tommy will ever be to being a judge. You kind of arbitrate between the people in the debate and make sure they maintain decorum. And then I'm not on any committees, but that kind of cuts both ways too, because I can go sit in on any committee I want. Now, I wouldn't have a vote, but like when they're doing the budget, I'd go sit in Ways and Means, and I'd pull and go to judiciary if I want to. So I've enjoyed the opportunity to serve in that capacity.
Does it help at all with, what do I say, pushing certain bills forward?
I think it does. Now the Senate really operates on seniority. And so literally, with Senator Clymer's leaving and people look at, who should go, and somebody, people will talk to me. Well, I've got, decent seniority in the House, both by virtue of being pro tem and by virtue of having been there a little bit of time. If I went to Senate, I'd be number 46, So I think, as long as the voters will have me, the House is where I'll be. But I have noticed I always tease Gary Simrell when we have, and I know Gary's listening, he and Kevin Sutton are only two friends I have.
You got three.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, I know that, getting the earmarks. Earmarks used to sound like a bad word till it's coming to your community.
That's right.
And so I always teach Gary, I said, when he was there, he was on Ways and Means. If I needed something for York and Clover, I'd just ask Gary and he'd help me out. And I told him, you never taught me to fish. You just gave me a fish. Well, after he left, I had to learn to fish. And I said, Gary, now that I see how it works, there's a lot bigger fish than what you were giving me. So, one example or opportunity for seniority is sometimes like the fire department that they're building up in York. I was able to help with that. Or, the hotel downtown, some public-private partnerships. So it provides some opportunities that I think you lose if you don't have seniority.
All right. So the budget has been passed.
Mm-hmm.
15.
On the House side.
On the House side. So it's still over there in the Senate. 15 and whatever it is, billion dollars worth of money. But it's interesting, from what I understand, both the House and the Senate have said no to the Department of Commerce request for an extra $150 to $200 million for the Scout Motors project, which I find very interesting because my understanding is this is work that's already been done that the state is obligated to pay for as part of their deal This is not scout. This is the
That's
this
right.
state.
That's right.
How are you going to work that one out?
So I think that the difficulty there is, one, you know, there was some heartburn for the scout project to start with, and I think it's going to, you know, hopefully provide tremendous benefit to the to state ultimately. You know, there was heartburn when BMW came in, you know, and so I think what happened, though, for whatever reason, and, you know, when do you not always, seems like everybody, what do they call it when you build a house and you had the list, you know, where you, a change order.
Yes.
You know, they make more money on change orders than they do, you know, building your house. I think the same thing. There were overruns on the grading. I think they didn't estimate things because what the Department of Commerce did promise Scout was a site ready.
That's right.
And, you know, I mean, I went out to the scene. I mean, that is a huge area with suddenly a 10-foot drop between here and the other side of the stadium. That's a lot of moving dirt.
Yeah.
And so I think what happened is they had tremendous cost overruns, and they just they maybe didn't manage it well. I don't want to cast dispersions on the Department of Commerce. They didn't manage it well, and they thought you'll just come to legislature and ask for the money. And, you know, that didn't happen. And so
– well. Somebody's got to pay the piper.
It's going to happen somehow. You know, I mean, I've heard everything from taking out the Commerce Secretary's salary to everything else. Now, realistically, I know that's more tongue-in-cheek when they say it, but I think there's some concern. Again, not mismanagement like corruption, but it's almost like you needed your own site manager, and that's probably not really Commerce's bailiwick, you know. And so I think the message you saw from the legislature is somebody needs to sort it out, and it's not going to be us, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's I think it's unfortunate that it's becoming, I guess, a campaign issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a brand new company, and I just interviewed their representative here a week or 10 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fabulous project.
That
I mean,
exciting.
Fabulous. Yeah. $4 billion worth of everything, jobs, and I mean, it's just it's incredible. But they're not worried about it because it's not right on them. You know, the state
made a promise, and it got done. So, and you know, at the end of the day, where it does fall in our laps, to the extent we're the gatekeepers of the state's finances, that, you know, sometimes you might have wrote the check, but I might have to be the one to cash it. So, you know, it will get done and it will get paid. But you're right. It became a political hot potato at the worst time.
Sure.
For the poor guys that did the grading work, probably,
yeah.
You know, but I know the state will pay them.
But, you know, to be realistic about this, to play the game, to play the world's economic development game, every state has to pony up something to make it happen. Again, it's a campaign issue that's being thrown back and forth. But that's not being honest with people. I don't think you're not going to get a BMW. You're not going to get a Scout. You're not going to get, you know, a Boeing. You're not going to, I mean, the list goes on and on unless you're willing to give something.
And you know, I've never been a fan of fee in lieu ofs and everything else, you know, and I want to have a level playing field. But that's just not a reality. You know, the worst is how bad do you want it? And sometimes you think about purchases at your own home. Sometimes you make good moves, and sometimes, you know, she wanted that, you know, fish pond in the yard. Now we're digging it up or whatever, you know. So, I mean, I get it, and it's tough. But if the state just sits on their hands, you know, it's funny how much we're growing. Everybody wants opportunity and growth till they get here,
yeah.
And then they don't want anybody else here.
That's exactly right.
You know?
I can remember you and I doing an interview, God knows how many years ago, where you were assigned the job of going through all the special little caveats in the
tax reform,
right? And you came up with this nice, big, thick report. And every time I used to follow up on you, you say, well, it's just kind of sitting on a shelf. It's still sitting on a shelf.
Yeah, that's the sales tax exemptions. And Gary, you know, I should just bring Gary on the show with me because I remember him saying that was lobbyist full employment day, the day, you know, according to what your special need was, whether it was Port-a-Johns or whatever. You know, we have done a lot of tax reform. We're getting closer. But, you know, it's messy business. And again, when you talk about politics, you can have a sound bite. Well, you know, they just raised one third of the people's taxes. Well, you know, to go from federal AGI, adjusted gross income, to you know, getting unhinged from the feds, you had to take your medicine. It's like surgery. You had to do it one time to do it. But, you know, the first time we had it was probably even a more robust package. But, oh, you're raising 50% of the people's taxes for the long run. You know, it's like I said, I'm going to cut you, and you're going to be in bed 8 weeks, but you're going to be better afterwards. Mm. But, you know, nobody wants to wait for the punchline, especially in today's politics, when I can just one-line you, let the social media crowd take off, and you know, you'll be drowning in trying to answer it, you know.
So for clarification, the effort to reconcile the state's tax bill mm-hmm. with the Fed mm-hmm. ain't going to happen.
Unless they come back, and I'm not sure in conference committee, because that was a separate bill from the budget itself. And so we passed it in the House, and it was a bite. And I, you know, don't quote me on this, but I think it was around $200 million because, of, you know, it was what? Not tax on tips. There was all these different things. And, you know, it was kind of a short run thing. And but we passed it in the House pretty much unanimously. But the Senate is not interested in it. And so, you know, Bernie Ackerman's already been on me about it. You know, it was nothing like when the House passed it, and I could tell any constituent, because I had constituents saying, I'm waiting to file my taxes to see what happened. And finally, I could say, we have passed it. It's in the Senate. But then the Senate made clear that I don't believe they're going to do it. I respect what they're saying. Because that's $200 million you could, you know, work toward other things with, but it's given a lot of folks heartburn.
And meanwhile, April 15th is 2 days away, so if if you did pass it, and if it, then we'd have to, everybody have to file again or some mess.
That, there was even talk, it got really weird, if they did pass it, and all the people, they were trying to figure out a way for the Department of Revenue to do it internally so you wouldn't have to get Bernie and them to do it again. And that just wasn't realistic, because then revenue would have been hiring people. You know, it's... I could choose some words I probably wouldn't say on the radio. It's a little bit frustrating.
All right. So we're growing. We grow. It's very interesting. I had an item on the news a few days ago that South Carolina is in now what is called the boom belt. 11 southeastern states that are just growing like weeds, both the Carolinas, basically all, you know, all the states surround us. A lot of reasons for that. Our GDP for those boom belt states is $9 trillion a year, more than any other country in the world except mm-hmm. the United States mm-hmm. and China. Right? Mm-hmm. So with all this happening, the governor has made it very clear in his state of the state, he's worried about keeping up with the infrastructure. You know, I-26 is probably the biggest example of that. Mm-hmm. I think I-77 should be the next biggest example. But we've got water projects, sewer projects, road projects. How are we going to get all that done?
I tell you, that's, as a citizen and a lifelong South Carolinian, that is my biggest concern, is where does it end? And, you know, we want to be, I always laugh, I remember, you know, government doesn't need to tell me what to do, you know, we won't, don't tread on me. I laugh, all the folks up in Lake Wylie felt that way till the guy built the check cashing place with the green, you know, building the red roof, I mean the yellow roof, or vice versa, and people were lighting me up going, you need to make a law, you know. So I don't know how we control growth to keep, I mean, you think of all the mini battles you see, like the schools, you know, trying to keep up with the, what they call the, when you build, they were going to put the, Fort Mill's got one.
Charter schools?
No. The where you make them pay extra for building a house.
The impact fee.
I'm sorry, I couldn't think of it. You know, in the abstract, you know, people fight against that, but we got to make some correlation. That's like when we used to have fines and fees on criminals. We laughed and called it almost a user fee. You know, if you don't commit crime, you probably don't have to pay the penalty, you know, fine for whatever crime you committed. We've got to do it, but I'll tell you, you know, I live over on the western side, and every time you turn a curve, if you hadn't been there in a week or so, there's a whole new set of houses going in, and the road's not getting any wider over there either, you know. So.
Well,
I'm lamenting not fixing, I realize.
Okay, well, speaking of the western side, the state of South Carolina is now getting into the data center business. Mm-hmm. We have one being built right now here in York County. You're looking at all kinds of rules and regulations for those. because it's something brand new for us. Absolutely brand new. It's interesting. When I did a show with the co-op here last week. That's going to bring, I mean, there's more power to be sold to that data center, QTS right here, than the entire customer base of York Electric Co-op every day. But as he points out, they're paying for everything. Absolutely everything. There's no infrastructure cost to any of the rate holders for York Electric Co-op. He's made that very, 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 very clear. But he also points out it's good for the co-op because that additional, whatever they make off that, that margin can help them in holding rates down in the future as they start to go up because they buy their power from Central Power. So I guess there's so much to this issue, and I know your phone has been burning off the ears.
Ironically, there's a group of ladies that have really done their homework over in that area, you know, that are neighbors and citizens, and they gave me, I did a Zoom with them about 2 weeks ago, and they gave me a crash course. I mean, I kept teasing one lady who wasn't on video that I think she's AI because the way she's coming up, you know, with the statistics and the numbers and everything. And I actually am trying to help them gather more information because at first you think, other than the energy draw, which is kind of ironic because, you know, we spent the last 2 years trying to figure out how to get ahead of our energy issues, you know, with the Santee Cooper stuff and the gas plant and, you know, looking at the nuclear facility in Fairfield County. But they were telling me that of the two reactors, that this thing literally, you know, if you had a shutdown where they do one reactor and then the other, that this data center by itself was using half of that juice coming out of it, basically the electricity, and that they have some incredible number of generators, backup generators, that it's almost the collateral thing nobody thinks about because you think a little quiet building and they're just running computers. And so there's a heck of a lot more to it. And you're right, Columbia's looking at it this week, but I'm trying to take what those ladies, I feel like I'm the one now sipping water out of a fire hydrant. I'm trying to take all they've given me, talk to the folks at the county to understand what I'm missing, you know, like the what's in it for us kind of thing. And I understand the tax base, but there's more questions than answers. And, you know, you don't want to be government and proceed so slowly you miss opportunities, but you don't want to go headlong into something that you can't undo.
Well, data centers are a fact of life. Every time we open our phone and do whatever we do on a phone, it's going into the cloud. That is the cloud.
Yeah.
That's where it is. And some type of regulation that makes sense for the neighborhood. I mean, this was a piece of land that was zoned industrial, and they went in there and they grabbed it. I understand it, but it's got to change the neighborhood in terms of its appearance.
Right.
These are very big buildings, 200 yards long.
And height
80 feet tall, something like that.
I think they gave them a variance on their height.
Yeah. 90, I mean, there's going to be nine of those buildings out there. And when those generators kick in, there's going to be, you know, some noise. I got it. So anyway, there's a lot to be learned as we enter this new field.
If you'd hurry up and solve it and let me know, then I'll just send everybody my short version.
Okay. With that, we're going to remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, online at andersongriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, we got the team here. Yes, we do. There we are. What a team. They're good for eating sandwiches. That's about all. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 and 9. How do we do it at the count of three? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
I told you they were good for something. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot. Definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We have a gallery now for Tommy Pope. Doesn't that make you feel good? Huh?
Got a gallery. They ran all the women off. I don't know what happened there.
All right, now, if you're going to sit here, you need to be quiet. You understand that? Right. And put that bag of chips away. So what are you working on? I mean, I got a whole bunch of issues here, but what are you working on personally?
So, judicial reform's been a great interest to me. We've done some things at different levels. I mean, we've got a good judiciary. You know, again, for the pundits out there, you know, everybody's a crook and every judge is on the take and all the lawyer legislators are corrupt, and that's just not accurate. But one thing that I think can really help the citizens is the magistrate's court. And we had a bill to try to move toward having the magistrate's court judges become attorneys or be attorneys. And, you know, we've got some good magistrates that aren't attorneys that are doing a great job. So we looked at maybe even grandfathering them in. But I will give Senator Clymer credit. He has done a good job of starting to bring attorneys on, you know, over the years.
Right.
And I've seen it in the courtroom when I was a police officer or even when I was a prosecutor. If the only attorney in the room is the defense attorney, it's really an unfair advantage, you know, say for the police officer on one side, the defense attorney on the other, because the judge is going to defer to that attorney, especially if that attorney is bluffing them a little bit. But if the judge is an attorney, that's less likely to happen. So anyway, we got on the floor. Some of the smaller counties were concerned about a mandate of having
sure
lawyers because of the cost.
Yeah.
And so the speaker is going to form an ad hoc committee. You were asking about pro tem. One thing I'll do is I chair a lot of the ad hoc committees if we need like some special work. So probably at the end of this session, going into the off session, we're going to put together a committee that will include some folks from Ways and Means too, which is our budget
sure
committee. So we can figure out the finance component too, and then hopefully bring a bill back on the floor next year.
That would be quite a difference if you started to require that. I mean, the salary difference between what you're paying a magistrate
yeah
and a good attorney.
And it's all over the board. If you happen to be the secretary of Senator so-and-so years ago as a magistrate, maybe you make more than attorneys make, you know. So, there's a lot to be cleaned out. And, of course, Justice Kittredge, who's the Chief Justice now, is a pleasure to work with. And he really... we're like-minded in that regard of seeing what needs to be done with the system. I like it, too, from a civil standpoint. Right now, if you had an issue, you know, you can go to magistrate's court, $7,500 less, you can handle it yourself. Well, you know, you can't hardly do anything for $7,500, get an ambulance ride for $7,500. So if we went up to, say, $25,000, then, you know, like in the civil work I do, you could go do it yourself. You wouldn't need me. So it's kind of more of an access to justice. Or if you needed me, well, now I'm not taking the lion's share of your money, when you're trying to get made whole.
Yeah. Anything else that you're working on besides judicial reform?
Let's see. The privacy bill. So we had a big battle. I remember saying I never thought that I would ever stand and say we needed a bill to say men go into men's room and women go into women's room.
Jeez.
But we literally have one. It went over the Senate. They amended it some. It'll be back on the House floor. It isn't perfect, but it addresses that you need to have separate facilities. I mean, and they make such a big deal out of it. How many times you see the one that said, you know, anybody can use it, and it's got a lock on the door. So there's ways to deal with this, but, you know, it's been a tempest in a teapot, but I'm hoping we can get it passed this week. For me, ideally, I have to talk back to the Speaker and the Chairman of Judiciary. I would love to see us just concur with the Senate amendments. Again, it may not be perfect, but it's rare we do anything perfect down there anyway.
You know, I just finished an interview with Lindsey Graham, who was in town this morning. Same thing, the SAVE Act down there in Washington, D.C. I mean, it's just pure common sense. I don't understand why anybody would object to that. I mean,
I tell you, man, and there was we got another one, parental rights in education and medical, and I wouldn't have believed it till it happened, where a school is, you know, you send your son Billy to school, and when he gets there, the teacher helps him change clothes to be Barbara, and he's Barbara at school, and we don't tell the parents. One case, the only reason the parents found out is they accidentally sent something that said Barbara instead of Billy. That is absurd. And so, unfortunately, we're having to make laws to address parental rights. Things, you know, instead of fixing the roads, like you said, instead of lowering the taxes, we're trying to do those too. But we major in the minors because of these silly issues, you know.
And kids, what is it, dressing or acting like cats?
Oh, yeah.
What is that? I mean, it's
well, great if you're in the litter box business.
Yes, right. So I've lost track of this, and maybe you can tell me. There was a big ta-da about the NIL money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And whether we should open those discussions up so people could be assured that state money wasn't going in and being mixed with private
right.
money.
Right.
So where did that end up,
so
if anywhere?
We passed it, and it was weird. It came so quick because it was literally an issue that was going to put South Carolina at a disadvantage to the other states, you know, whether you say in our region or the country. In other words, the way it was set, it's private money, but because it was, and I'm winging this a little bit, but because it was going through the universities, it was subject to FOIA, and we had to kind of clean it up. Because the problem was, you know, it's like if you're recruiting people for the radio station and you know WBT's paying them, you know, whatever, $100,000. Well, you know, maybe I can get them for $105,000. You know, and that was the same thing would happen with these athletes. You know, so, you know, the genie's out of the bottle with paying the athletes. So now it's you're dealing with a whole new landscape. You know?
So we don't really have a resolution to it yet.
No, we did. We overrode the governor's veto. Uh-huh. We did, and I believe the Senate did last week, although I hadn't seen that. I'll be back tomorrow to know that for sure.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, liquor liability. I mean, I don't think what you did last session put it all to rest.
Well, you know, I don't think it has really kind of run through its paces yet. And the moving part, and I think the Bill Herb Kirschman, who is the chairman of LCI, I think they're doing more on insurance reform. But it's almost like the citizens are the ones getting held hostage, because if there's really wrongdoing, you want people to be protected. But you know, trying to decide what the insurance company will charge or not, nobody ever says in those meetings, if you do blank, then your rates will go down. Because that's what they're looking for, to be able to manage their rates. In Florida, they did a lot of the same things that we followed suit, and the rates actually went up. So therein lies the rub. You tighten down too much on insurance, they just flee the state. And then, you know the market bears what it bears. So we've really had a difficult time with that.
All right. Well, you have won the gauntlet. Perfect timing. 30 minutes is up. State Representative Tommy Pope, thank you for all that you do. Good luck in the upcoming election. You don't have a primary, but you will have some opposition in the fall. And that is going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relaxer with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill, online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, one more time. Here we go. If we can break up this very important conversation over here, which is amounting to nothing. Hey, let's do something productive. Let's tell everybody out there what the heck we do inside here at the count of three. Let's hear it. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.